If you know her, you love her. I'm talking about Fallon from KDWB, a local radio station here in Minneapolis. And today we have her on the podcast. Fallon is going to share what her journey has looked like entering a male-dominated industry and how she is crushing it and what's next for her. This episode will leave you inspired and ready to pretty much tackle the world. Let's dive in. You're listening to the Girl Get Your Face Off a Bus Bench podcast, where we invite you to check your ego at the app, grab a cup of coffee, and get ready to dive into all things real estate marketing, social media, friendship, hardship, love, money mindset, and all the things that celebrate you as a badass boss babe.
We're here to encourage you, show up for you, give you a loving kick in the pants when you need it most, and be your soft place to land on the hardest of days. So pull up a seat at our table and get ready to be inspired and start living your best life by design.
Welcome to the Girl Get Your Face Off a Bus Bench podcast. We are so excited you're here.
Okay, girls, let's dive in. Bus Bench babes, we have an absolute treat for you today. We have Fallon from KDWB here today. We first fell in love with Fallon on the KDWB award-winning morning show with Dave Ryan. And she also hosts a podcast with Jenny, also from KDWB, called I'm Still Fun. And now she has her own afternoon show called Fallon and Colt. And she's super involved in charities here locally in the Twin Cities. She's a devoted mom, wife, the girl that everybody wants to be friends with. Oh, and also she's crushing it in a male-dominated industry as a mom and a female. Welcome to the show, Fallon.
Thank you. I'm going to have you introduce me at every event I ever do because people always ask me for bios. I don't have, can you copy
paste
that?
We'll just cut and paste
that. Yeah,
yes.
Thank you so much.
Happy to do that.
I appreciate it.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've lived in Minnesota now for about 12 years and I came from, not initially, but Reno, Nevada before this. So usually when you work in radio, you kind of like move around to markets to build your way up. So I started in Indiana, which is where I was born and raised. And I'm like from the southern part of Indiana, like on the Kentucky border. So all my family, we have like southern accents. And people are always a little surprised by that with Indiana. But I'm like, we're basically Kentuckiana, that's what we call it. So I grew up in a really small country town. My dad's a farmer. And went to college, and then that's when I got into radio, when I started college. Like my freshman year, my cousin Jimmy, he had worked in radio, and I needed a job. And so I was like, I bet I can get you like a part-time gig here. And I just fell in love with it immediately, and I've kind of followed that path ever since.
Oh, that's a really cool story.
Oh, thanks. Yeah,
I love it. So we really wanted to have you on the show because we've been big fans for a long time. I think a lot of people listening to this are going to say they've been big fans for a long time. And you're putting yourself out there and taking risks to like pivot and move around and try new things, which can be super scary. So I would love to hear a little bit about like where you find that courage to do that and why.
Well, therapy. that helps. I think I don't know. Like I've had people ask me before about because so many people like want to start new things and they talk themselves out of it. Mm-hmm. And my body doesn't work that way. My brain doesn't work that way. I immediately will try something new and not worry about the failure part until I've done it. And then I'll backtrack and think, oh, maybe I should have taken a little bit more time preparing for this before. But in reality, most of the things have been really good learning experiences and they've been like moderately successful, like things I'm happy enough with. Mm-hmm. But in this industry, specifically like radio, I think starting out, it's like, what do I have to lose? Like, I think a lot of people are scared to move out of like their state or their city they grew up in, but I didn't care. I was like, get me out of here. And I love my family and friends. I love going back home, but I just knew I wanted more. So the first steps were easy for me. Like when I moved, you know, went to college a couple of hours away, that wasn't a big deal. When I moved across the country to Nevada, that was hard. And I pronounced it Nevada then. And they teach you when you move there, it's Nevada. But that was scary because that was a really big move, different time zone and everything. And then I'm big on, I don't know, just putting myself out there. And I've one of those people that I'm like, if I get the interview, I think I can get the job. Mm-hmm. If they'll just give me the interview, I feel confident in myself getting the job. And I did for in Minnesota. And then the scarier thing for me was more recently with the afternoon show. I had done mornings for a very long time. I was established in the morning show. I like doing mornings. But I did eventually want to host my own show. And traditionally in radio, females are not the host of the show.
Right.
Traditionally, females are co-hosts. Mm-hmm. And I think I was a good co-host. I'm good at reacting. And I'm like, there are a few things I'm confident in my life. People tell me they get a confident vibe from me, which I think is hilarious because I am the most insecure human ever.
I hear you talk about that all the time, but I don't get that vibe from you in person.
I'm highly insecure.
Yeah.
But I am confident in my ability to do like be a good co-host. But I had never hosted a show, and it was scary, and I took a lot of time and truly therapy it did really to get me through that, because I just thought I would become irrelevant, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's like a very weird thought of like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be irrelevant because I'm moving to afternoons, which is crazy because I learned a lot. I learned that more people listen in the afternoon drive. That's not to say there aren't a ton of people listening in the mornings. It's just a different type of listening.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, okay. And it's been a whole new set of challenges. And I think that that's what a lot of us desire. We feel like we're in a hamster wheel sometimes. And you're scared to try something new because even though this might be like, okay, kind of boring, it's like you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not saying the morning show was boring by any means. That was like a very creative, fun job. But I do like the new challenges I have with doing like the afternoon show.
I miss you on the morning show. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you.
But I do find myself in the car a lot in the afternoons where I didn't listen to the radio. Mm-hmm. I would listen to Sirius. And now I'm like, oh, Fallon's on. So then I'll switch
it.
So I feel like my habits of radio listening have changed now that you've moved to the afternoon.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's, I mean, before it was definitely like a much more music heavy afternoon show, but we are doing a more personality driven afternoon show
with
two people, which is different. And I would go back and do mornings again one day. Like, I didn't dislike mornings.
Yeah.
I think I just needed to challenge myself to like host a show and see how that felt.
Well, you're crushing it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's so incredible to see, like, to have you share that you are just like comfortable with these changes and it's just part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really unique. That's such a neat quality. I can't, like, myself, I could never imagine like that. And I just, that's incredible. Like, where do you think, was it like as a child you pulled that from? There, do you think, or have you always had it?
I don't know. That's a good question. Well, my dad, I would say, I grew up with my mom, but my dad has a false confidence. Like, he is like, my mom would say that my dad is like, thinks he is the best thing there ever, that ever existed. So maybe that rubbed off on me a little bit in maybe hopefully a better way.
Yeah.
But I guess I'd give my mom a lot of credit. I don't remember my mom ever being like, you know, I don't know. My mom wasn't critical of me ever, mm-hmm. like in any way. And I think maybe she gave me too much confidence. And then I had to maybe go out in the real world and realize, no, you can't sing, Fallon. You're actually terrible at singing and various things. So she never like was like, you're going to wear that? You know, I don't know. She's let me really be myself. And maybe that was like a start of it. Mm-hmm. I went to a small school. Maybe it was like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that necessarily where it comes from, but maybe it's just how you're raised somehow accidentally.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh. Well, yeah, you probably always grew up believing that you could. So you're like, well, I mean, I can try it. And
yeah, I think it's also easy to like certain things are easy to try when you have financial stability. Mm-hmm. And I did not have that growing up. So I will say some of the things I'm older that I have tried were easier to take risks on when I'm not worried about like how I'm going to pay my bills.
Right.
And that is like, that's just like a privileged spot I'm in. So a lot of people, they're scared because it's a genuine risk for them financially. Mm-hmm. And so I respect that. Like, that's easy for me to be like, just go out there and do it. Well, yeah, I could switch from the morning show to the afternoon show because I was in a financially stable spot, mm-hmm. and it wasn't me my salary didn't change by doing that. I didn't mm-hmm. I wasn't in a whole new environment. I'm still at the same company at the same radio station. So I think it's easy for me to be like, yeah, I take these huge risks, but I they're safe risks for me now, kind of.
Well, you going on Jason's show and doing switching from radio to TV, I feel like that was a really bold move.
That was
to try something new. Like that is really like
that was fun.
People joke about radio. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like, I'm not attractive, so I'm to be on the radio. And like, let's just clarify, you're a bombshell.
Oh,
but like Dave Ryan always jokes about that. Yeah. You know, he's I couldn't be on TV.
We always say we have a face for radio, right?
Yeah.
But, well, you know what? That ended up being just the most perfectly lined up thing ever.
Yeah.
Because I've loved Jason for a very long time. We're friends because we can give each other crap back and forth. And we have the same disturbing sense of humor, I think, in ways. But he didn't know. I knew I was shifting to afternoons. Mm. And then I was like, his co-host Kendall was going on maternity leave. And I think there was that like, it was like that feeling that I'm talking about, of feeling insecure. I'm going to be irrelevant. I'm going to afternoons. And that is, I kind of look at that now and I'm like, that is such a, why did you think like that? That's like really, that's a bad way to look at yourself in life. That's a whole different thing I have to talk to my therapist about. But I was like, let's try. Like, I just like, hey, do you have someone to fill in? And he was like, no, please tell me, like, you know, you would be down. And I'm like, yeah. And I have to get approval because all the like corporate media companies and stuff, they're tricky. And they actually said, yeah. And so I went in, I was pretty nervous, but his show is such a well-oiled machine. I wasn't doing a ton of work. Like my show, I'm doing a lot of work because I'm coming up with everything. That show, I would walk on. They have
you're
the show
I just
planned.
Look cute.
I get to interact with them, and it was so fun. And I was introduced to an entirely new audience of people that are so nice. I get stopped at Trader Joe's all the time, and it's not from the radio show anymore. It's from like the Jason show, and it's very
fun.
Oh, he's
got a cult following.
He does.
For sure.
He does. Yeah. And so that was like a fun. It was different, and I was nervous because I'm like, this isn't my show.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to be respectful, but I still wanted to like. You want someone to be there for you, right? Like a good co-host, it's like ping pong, back mm-hmm. and forth, back and forth. So I wanted to be that for him. And I was like, I know I can't. I did that with Dave for like 12 years. And so it just worked out. And it was a good challenge because I don't enjoy seeing myself on television. I didn't watch it. I do not like seeing that.
That's how Christy is with the podcast.
I can't listen.
Her solo episodes. Oh, I'm like, oh my God, it was so good. And she's like, oh, I'm just kind of, I haven't listened yet.
That's fair.
I'm like, great. Thank you for telling me that. I'm moving on to the next one.
I'm the exact opposite. Yeah. I'm the narcissist or something because all of a sudden I'm like, I think I sound great. And then my husband's like, no, you don't.
So that's good you have him to keep you grounded then apparently.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, no
keeping
kidding.
It real
that's
at the
so
Randall
funny.
Household.
Yeah.
Most people don't like the sound of their own voice. So I get that. That's it's scary. So yeah.
We're all wired in interesting ways. Well, so why radio?
You know, I think I always knew I wanted to do some type of entertainment, and I grew up in such a small town. It's like, we didn't even have a theater program. It wasn't going to be that I think when I was younger, I thought, I'll be an actress. And then I was like, wait, I have no experience doing anything. So like I said, when I went to college, my cousin Jimmy was like, I was just looking for a part-time job, not in media mm-hmm. or entertainment. And my cousin was like, hey, I can probably get you a job at the radio station. And I always say I was there for 1 week and I was like, this is what I'm doing with my life. And I switched my classes and at school, I joined the college radio station and I loved it immediately. And I like it better than TV because I feel like I can be more crude. And I am like, I'm a little bit of an edgier person when it comes to like the things I say. And I don't think that would fly on most television. Definitely not like reporting. I could never be a news reporter. That is a whole different skill set.
Or you could be, and it'd be much more entertaining.
No, it wouldn't. I'd get fired so fast. Like, we don't need your opinion, Fallon. We don't need to hear about your hemorrhoids. Just deliver the news, you know? So I think the liberties that radio offers.
Mm-hmm. We initially made a decision to have our podcast be explicit, even though it's in real estate.
Oh,
because
okay.
we you say are, a lot of F-bombs around here.
I actually was wondering that because I was like, I almost said like a bad word earlier. And I was like, I don't know that that's
You can say as
permitted.
Many bad words as you want because we are labeled explicit.
He was
explicit.
Like, hey, so we need to now label the show differently here. Like it's a continual issue. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
My mom's like, I shared it with some of my church friends. I'm like, you probably should stop doing that.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to appreciate it.
That's what I worry about with my podcast with Jenny that I do because it is also explicit. Like very.
It happens.
And that's where the crossover comes. I'm like, I hope the people that watch the Jason show don't listen to my podcast with Jenny because I feel like they are going to be like, this is not who we saw on TV. And
I love that podcast. It's like just real. You're hanging out. It's great.
You.
It's so fun to listen to.
Thank
it's
you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience getting into radio? That's such a male dominated industry as a young female.
I feel like getting in isn't maybe the most difficult part of it. Cause like I, they do want women in the industry. And I just find that traditionally there are very specific spots that women fit into. They're typically a co-host. They're typically a midday person. So typically, the host of a morning show is always male. Night shows are typically male. Afternoon shows also typically male. So, you know, there's the old saying that the female laughs at the guy's jokes on like the morning show, right? And then the midday is kind of like the palatable at work listening show, you know?
Yeah.
So when I was growing up, some of the things I would hear from men are that women don't like the sound of other women's voices. Because I would ask questions like, why aren't there more female hosts and things like that? And that is a common thing I heard. And I genuinely believed it. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, there's probably research in this. Like, that makes sense. You know, my own voice annoys me half the time. but as I've gotten older, I realize how ridiculous that is. Because first of all, you do have to like a voice. There could be a voice that drives you nuts. And I'm certain that my voice drives certain people nuts. And that's just part of the deal. And I'm sorry if I do that to you. But there are also some men's voices that drive me nuts. You know what I mean? So it's not just a woman thing. But I know that that's crazy also because I am a listener. I listen to podcasts all the time. And guess what? All the podcasts I listen to, for the most part, with the exception of maybe one, are female hosted. So obviously, I don't mind the sound of women's voices. And I'm going to guess I'm like the majority of other women. I am not unique. So that is like so crazy that I believed that for so long. And the industry says they're trying to change. But as I've like moved up, I will continually get frustrated because I'll say, why aren't there more female hosts? And I do push and challenge more. And they always are like, there are. And they point out like the same three. And I'm like, you guys, you only have like three examples every single time. Now, we live in a unique market in the Twin Cities because My Talk is here. And My Talk is a little bit different because they do have some female-led shows. But that's not the case in most markets. And there isn't a station like My Talk in most markets across the country. It's like a very unique format, I would say.
Well, those two are retiring, aren't they?
Lori and Julia, they're retiring. Yeah. They just announced that after like 22 years, which is amazing. Yeah, good for them. Yeah. So, but.
What obstacles have you had to overcome, like being a co-host of a morning show and then now hosting your own show? Like, does imposter syndrome creep in for you? And like when it does, like what do you do and what does that look like?
Absolutely. It definitely does. I think I question everything. And I especially stepping into a hosting role, because there are, Dave is a great host and he makes it look easy because he is very talented at it. So people think they can do it. And it's very different than co-hosting. And so I was afraid of going into it and having that moment of like, oh no, what did I do? So I do question myself, but I've given myself some grace because I think it's really unfair for me to compare myself to people who have 30 plus years of experience doing something. And so I've been trying to give myself grace, but the imposter syndrome is always going to be there. Like, you know, even things like this to talk about, you know, talk about my like career in radio and stuff. It's like, well, yeah, I have had a very long career, but then I'm like, who are you to talk about this? Like, you're not the expert, you know? And it's like, well, you do have experience. Like, calm down, give yourself a little bit of grace there. And I have this unique position at like a local level of getting feedback about everything I do immediately. immediately I'll get a text, that was awful, that was great. A Facebook comment, a like, views. And I don't think that that's like completely normal. And I actually just talked to my therapist about this. And I know I bring her up a lot because she's like been life-changing for me. I started with her like last January.
We talk about ours all the time too.
And so the most recent discussion we had was how I can stop, because I'm getting like these dopamine hits, right, from this interaction on my show and from people who listen or look at my social media. And then the average things like playing with my daughter can feel boring almost because it's not this high. And that I was like, so I'm really like, I don't want that. I don't want to be on my phone around her. I don't want to be like the mom who, when my kid draws a picture of me, I'm on my phone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be that. And it's really hard. I'm like scrolling all the time, like everyone else. And so she said that it's because I am seeking this outside validation, right? So I have to learn how to create that within. Like, I need to get the validation from within. How do I do that? Well, what do I consider to be a good person? And then line up those values. And so like, I think a good person has these values. And if every day I am personally aligning with those values that I think a good person has, then I can just believe and trust my own self that I am a good person. I am doing a good job. I do not need outside people to tell me I am a good person and doing a good job. That is easier said than done. Mm-hmm. So that is something that I am currently focused on. So the first thing, my first assignment is when I leave my job on the way home, I don't like have anything on in my car. And when I get home, I'm supposed to sit in my garage for like 3 minutes in silence before I go in so that I can come down from that quote unquote dopamine high that I just had. That is my job. And I'm going to start hopefully doing like little small breaks from my phone, like put it away for 20 minutes and then hopefully build up from there. And I don't even know what I was talking about. I just went off on a full tangent.
No,
so I'm
it was
sorry.
Like legit so good.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay.
Well, like you put it into words that I don't think people describe. Like it is like, yeah. Like the I've had some reels go viral recently and that is what it is.
Yeah. You go look at it and you're like, and then you.
How many more people have liked it?
Right. And then of course you get one mean comment and then that sends you spiraling. Right. And then I'll think everything I've done is terrible because of this one mean comment. I'm like, nah, they just don't, I'm just not for them. And that's okay.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And you're putting yourself out there like every single day. So that's a big thing to do.
It is. And it's hard to not take personal because it's literally me. So if you don't like it, you genuinely don't like me. So it's like, okay, well that stinks, but all right. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Well, how do you navigate like being a public figure? I mean, you say like everyone is going to give you, criticism or feedback one second, like with having kids and being a wife, like what do boundaries look like around that?
Well, the boundaries had to change. My boundaries have changed throughout time. Before I would like share pretty much everything. And then that backfired on me. And some people, are like, some people feel if you share everything, then they own you. And that's interesting. It's like, well, you shared all this information. Don't get mad now that we're critiquing you on it. I'm like, okay, interesting. So then I need to pull back a little bit what I'm sharing so that you don't feel like you have complete ownership of me. Mm-hmm. But I don't pull back everything. But I do have some like boundaries with my kids. I have a stepson who's 16 and I'm absolutely don't want to embarrass him with his friends. So I'm pretty respectful of him. And then I have a 4-year-old, and while she's not old enough, I play the fun game now of like, what do I share and what do I not share? That goes on air and social media. And that's a balancing act for me. So I decided very early on that there are very specific things I won't share about her. I'm not going to show her having a meltdown. I'm not going to show her acting like poorly. I'm not going to post things that are like embarrassing for her. I'm not going to post her like in diapers. I'm not going to post her in bathing suits, like things like that. But I even lately have gone through and I've been archiving a lot of posts of her. And I'm like, I don't know. So you know, I've been approached about certain endorsements that would include her. And some things, they make sense. And some things, because it's like a product I...
You're like college fund.
...do use. Yeah. Some things I'm like, we do use that product, and so I don't mind talking about that. But then there will be somewhere, like a daycare, for instance. And I'm like, no, because I don't want to talk about where she goes to school, actually. Right. And so, like, I've never ever shared where she goes to school.
Right.
On the radio.
Yeah, totally
or
makes
on
sense
media.
For her safety.
Right. And yeah. For other kids, too. Like, that's not cool for them.
Right.
So I do have boundaries with that. Luckily, my husband, very few boundaries, and his coworkers listen, and he is like an actual like leader in a like software sales company. And I'm sure he wishes I would just stop, but I don't.
If
he
the really, TikTok with yeah, the lotion bottle, I like
yeah.
died
he,
laughing.
He asked me to genuinely not post that. And I was like, he's not on TikTok. He probably won't care. And then when it blew up immediately, I was like, Jake, this is going viral.
Oopsie daisy.
And do you want me to delete it? And he's like, let me see it. And he laughed and he's like, nah, I don't care. I was like, okay. So
hilarious.
Yeah. It's yeah. That was a controversial one. That was my most controversial
it's like
video.
Real life.
I know, but apparently not. Apparently that is like men are not supposed to do that.
Oh,
and you're not supposed to, your
God.
Husband is
Have
not
you
supposed
seen that
to
TikTok?
Do that.
Uh-huh, sure. That was hilarious.
I mean, everyone has, right?
Yeah, I love it.
So yes, I don't know.
But. So you just shared a little bit about like how you approach the work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
What is an everyday sort of look like with that as far as juggling that? Not mm-hmm. just the posting on social, but like
right.
What does that look like for you?
I never did mornings with her before my daughter, but now I can get up and do like some morning stuff with her, usually drop her off. And then now I have this weird chunk of my day where I didn't have that before of like, what do I do? So I have been like trying to prioritize working out. I've been doing Pilates. And then I do a lot of stuff for our show. So I will like put together a show sheet. So it's like, okay, we have 4 hours of content we need to fill. And it's like, okay, some things are going to be benchmark bits. That is something we do every single day mm-hmm. or once a week. So those are filled in automatically. And then it's setting up callers, setting up games, who could play this, coming up with the game, coming up with what's a phone topic here, what's a personal story, how can I add this in, and then truly filling in 4 hours of content every single day. And then I send that show sheet over to my co-host Colt. He will fill in any spots or like enhance some bits back and forth. We try to like make our stuff better. So I'm like, here's an idea I have, and he'll be like, what if we did that but plus this, or I'll do that with his idea. I've been texting him this morning. We've you know, coming up with some things. Once that's kind of finalized, then it could be anything. It could be something like this. It could be sales meetings I have with clients where I have to record like production commercials. And then I usually go in and have audio. I have to do like commercials, different things, pulling stuff for our show. Cause now it's a 2-person show. Mornings, we had a producer. That person did a lot of the pre-production for us. Now that is Colt and I, we're doing that. And just getting everything set up for the show. Then we do the 4-hour show. And then as soon as that, like my last break is over, I am like in the parking garage. Don't even like look for my desk. I am on my way home. I walk in. Jake now has to cook dinner. He did not before. I'm like, have it plated when I get home, you know? And he loves that whole narrative. And he does. He has dinner ready. And you know, my daughter's screaming everywhere. And then I hang out with her for a little bit. She goes to bed. Jake and I watch like an hour or two of TV and then we go to bed. Still early. Everyone's mm-hmm. like, oh, do you stay up later now? I'm like, no, I still go to bed at like 9:30 usually. So, and then start all over again.
Sounds like a great day.
Yeah. Sounds like a great day.
Some days are busier than others. Like Mondays I'll record my podcast with Jenny. I have fill in for Jason sometimes still too. And then that'll be like crazier days. When I was doing Jason and the radio show, I didn't have time for anything.
Well, that's when we originally had asked you to be on the show. And I'm like, that's going to totally be a shot in the dark. But I don't know. I mean, the answer is always no until you ask.
I'm
going to ask.
Friends that would ask me to do stuff. And I'd be like, I'm available from 11:15 to 11:45. And they'd be like, okay, I'll talk to you next year. I'm like, all right. That's like literally all I had. It was crazy. So
I would love to know, what did you learn most about yourself when you became a mom? Like, what surprised you the most now that we've talked a bit about your kids? And
maybe that I would, that I do have some maternal qualities, which I did not think I had at all. I never wanted kids. I never, like, it wasn't even one of those things, like when I was little or I was like, I didn't pick out baby names. I've never been a kid person. And I've never been, like I said, super maternal. And then when I was with, like, got with Jake, he has a son. And I don't know what it was. I was kind of like, oh, I could actually do this with a partner like this. Because the weird things that would go through my head before were like, I could never help a kid with math homework. I'm terrible with math. I don't know that I would be good in these. I don't know. I just didn't feel like that calling. And which my mom is the complete opposite. All she wanted in life was kids and a family. And like that was her dream. And Jake thought he was done having kids because he has like a 9-year-old. And so I was like, I would have one kid. And Jake's like, I'd be cool with like one more too, if we were like fortunate enough to be able to have a kid. And we did, and Jake got a vasectomy, and we, yeah, because everyone's like, you're going to want more when you have one. I'm like, no, I'm genuinely like, I'm good with one. So I think I'm surprised that like, initially I had like patience, which I've never been a patient person. That's grown, like worn back thin again. and I don't know. I think that I'd spent so much time putting myself first that I am very capable of putting someone else first. And that sounds bad, but I think we all put ourselves for the most part first, mm-hmm. right? When we're single or, I mean, some people don't, some people are just natural like caregivers and things. But, so that was a real shift for me. But a good one. I think it's one I needed to have, honestly. So yeah.
Okay, we're super big fans of all your home decor stuff.
Oh,
and
thank you.
And entertaining, like I feel like you're like putting in the entertaining vibe into mm-hmm. all your social media stuff. We had Melissa Oholent of Oholent.
Oholent.
Should we start
is
that
so funny. No, it's funny actually because she
I screw it up all the time.
It's totally fine.
So I never know how to pronounce her last name, Oholent. So I just call her Melissa Oho.
Yeah, that's
she's probably like she's whatever, but
she probably does like get used to that. Because,
I think that people probably think that's her last name.
Yeah.
So of Oho Interior, she did your bathroom remodel.
She did.
And it was awesome. Like
thank you.
What Oh, and we had Melissa back on an episode 54, so go check that out. That was an awesome episode. But, like, talk about your love for design. Like, where did that come from? Is that something new? Is that something you always have had?
Definitely new. I grew up, there was no design. I did not grow up with money. And so we had the necessities growing up. A lot of, like, hand-me-downs, a lot of... you know, to this day, my mom is still like that. Like the recliner in her house was my great grandma's. She does have like a sofa now that she got it. Like, I think like Big Lots or something. and so that came, I think later in life, I would see things on Pinterest. Maybe Pinterest mm-hmm. inspired me initially when I was like younger and a couple of bloggers. Emily Schumann has like always been a favorite of mine. She does the cupcakes in cashmere and I've loved her for so long. And I remember when I lived in Reno, Nevada, and so I was like out on my own, had my apartment. I remember going to, I saw her post a comforter she had, like a duvet. Duvets were not that is not a thing. There are so many things. Like you only had a comforter. There was no like sticking something in a duvet. So I was like, what is a duvet? I don't even know if I pronounced it right, honestly. And she had one from West Elm, which West Elm was not a store where I grew up. And in Reno, you could go to Sacramento because it's a quick, mm-hmm. like, 2-hour drive. And they had a West Elm there. So I remember going there and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so beautiful.
Like, design utopia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, and I was like, I bought the duvet and then I bought like these little different colored wine bottles. And then I brought that stuff back home. And I think maybe that's where it started, which is interesting. Probably this, like, the earliest version of looking at someone else's life and being envious and trying to mimic it, maybe.
Yeah.
And I still have those wine bottles. And the duvet, honestly, probably too. It has like holes in it somewhere. I probably should just throw that away now that I'm thinking about it. But I messaged her once and she responded. Like, that's why, like, I always try to respond to everyone because I'm like, I like messaged her. Like, she's really good friends, by the way, with Sweet Martha's daughter. And I just think that that's like such a small world. That's fun. I don't know, because I'm like, I have adored her for years, and she's friends with Jen, Sweet Martha's daughter. That's like, what a small world. But I, you know, I feel like I am not a DIYer. Like, that's not my style. I go back to patience. I don't have patience for DIY projects. I could tell. I've painted the the inside of my windows in my kitchen, and they're hideous. I should hire someone to fix it because I just get sick of it and it's sloppy. And then my husband's like, ah, I'm not going to say anything. Just let her finish. And then he's like, it looks great. And I'm like, no, it doesn't, but let's just move on.
Call the painter.
Truly, I need to. I don't know. When we moved, I guess I should say when I bought my first house also, then it was like a new house. And so that's like easy because it's already just pretty. It's like in itself. And so then I don't want to say like to be able to have good decor, you have to like be able to afford nice things.
Absolutely not.
No, because so many people can do it. But maybe for like me getting a few staple pieces in the beginning, like a room and board outlet kind of sofa and things really tied the rooms together. And so maybe that just gave me a little bit more confidence.
It's all about the high-low.
It is. Oh, I have plenty of lows. Yeah. I have so many of the lows everywhere. I have these big pictures in my living room are these Walmart frames. But then I bought like some nice matting to put in them and then a nice artist's actual like artwork. But the frames were cheap. You know what I mean?
Nobody knows that until you tell them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it is the highs and lows. But I think like unlike anyone now with all the social media, you scroll through, you see these beautiful homes. You're never happy with what you have anymore. It's unhealthy. Yeah.
So he's reaching for more.
Yeah.
Well, I think so many people's designs just feel so the same. Mm-hmm. And I think what I'm appreciating now when you're saying like you're like putting a little bit more boundaries on your life, I see that probably in your social media because you're not posting as many pictures of your house. But when you were posting more stuff, your style is beautifully evolving. So I don't know if you think that, but I went to interior design school, so you should trust what I have to say about that.
Thanks.
I love your radio collection, your vintage radio collection. Uh-huh. Yeah. And like you've done some really cool I love the high-low vibe.
Thank you.
And you pulled together some really cool things. So
thank you.
Your style is evolving beautifully as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thanks. And Melissa, like I love everything she does. It's so beautiful.
So cool.
And to be able to have worked with her. I knew Melissa before. And then when she was like kind of venturing into like this thing, I was like, would you ever want to do something together? And she was like, yeah. And I don't know if I am the worst client she ever had or not, you know.
Probably not.
I'll jokingly be like, am I the worst? And she was like, no. I'm like, you say that to everyone, don't you? But she's just the sweetest, kindest. I would work with her. If I was like super rich, I would work with her for my entire house. But I also like, I'm not saying she's expensive. I'm just saying like, I would like everything
put her
I
on
see.
Staff.
Yeah, I would. I would. It would be a problem. So yeah.
Yeah, her style is so cool. It's really a particular style, and it's so beautiful.
It is. I love it.
Yeah. So what's next for you? What's next for Fallon?
I think I'm just trying to settle in to this afternoon show because I mean. Colt is very new. I mean, we've been together for a month and a half now.
He used to be on KDWB back in the day.
Yeah, so he did nights.
That's what I thought.
From like 2018 and 2019. And then he went to Texas. He did not like Texas. He came back. He missed Minnesota. And so he is just like the perfect partner for me. And it is hard to find like a person you have chemistry with who is kind, who is very involved in creating with you. Like you want a collaborative vibe with a radio show. You don't want to be doing, have one person do everything and the other person just show up, you know? So I really want to focus on that and growing that. And that in the past, I've always just had other things. And I think it's like good to focus on this for a while.
The chemistry is awesome on the show, so it's
Thank
working.
Thank you. I appreciate it very
I love
much.
That.
So what advice would you give to another woman who's afraid to put themselves out there and start?
What do they say now? They say lean into the cringe. But because everyone's afraid to like video themselves in public and things. And it's like, why do I care what other people think? Some good advice was given to me a long time ago. People care a lot less about you than you think. Mm-hmm. So, when you're like so afraid of what other people are going to think, they might gossip about you for like a day with their friends. Oh, did you see what blah, blah, blah did? Yeah. But then they're back to really being self-involved. And that's not like a critical thing. We're all like that. Mm-hmm. We're all because then they're worried about what other people are thinking about them, right? So if you're not doing it because you're afraid of what other people think, know that they're thinking about you a lot less than you are giving them credit for. And then also I would say, I don't know, it's like, I feel like it's the same old advice you would always hear. You know what you're doing now, right? You know the outcome of that. But you will never know what could happen if you don't try. So again, that goes back to, I think, like, obviously being in a position where you can, but sometimes you just got to take a risk on yourself. I always say sometimes you got to pinch your own ass. So, you know, maybe that's like whether it's a compliment to yourself or you got to get yourself moving. Yeah. Sometimes you got to. So
yeah. I love it. That's great advice.
That's super. That's like mic drop moment. Yeah. You know, okay. You got to pinch your own ass. Well, thanks so much, Fallon, for being here. Like, yeah, we've loved this conversation. And tell everyone where they can find you.
Thank you. I feel like you said you were like, you would be like maybe a little nervous, and you're just naturals at it. So thank you for having me. I'm just on social media at Fallon KDWB, and it's F-A-L-E-N KDWB.
Love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So until next time, remember to keep your face off a bus bench
and keep being the badass boss babes that you are.
Okay, girls, are you feeling as inspired as we are? We're over here cheering you on because you just finished another episode of the Girl Get Your Face Off a Bus Bench podcast.
If you want more, head over to girlgetyourfaceoffabusbench.com for show notes and more episodes. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. They mean the world to us, and they're what keep us going.
Girl, thanks for being here.